Welcome back, going into the third hour here of Roleplay Swan Song. Adam, what's going on?
You know, I mean, you ask me that every time we come back from a break, as if I'm the one who knows the answer to that question. How about we turn that over to y'all? What's going on, everybody? What's the plan?
We did it!
I think we kicked Vince out, and now we're trying to figure out how the fuck to salvage this ridiculous situation.
Yeah, I think so, too. The inside of your hotel room has, like spray paint all over the walls. Nice. It's a total mess. Like one of the couches is like split open and there's like a big vibro knife on the table. There's stuffing everywhere. Higgs, yeah. You were able to defend the like lounge chair that you're sitting in, but otherwise the place is like completely a mess.
Trashed. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally trashed.
Brumpotungus is a rock star. It's important for his image.
Yeah. It's very important.
So, Eric, was there any legitimacy to what was said about the boat?
Last night? I don't remember much of what happened last night. Why does my face sting?
Come on, Eric. You gotta learn to drink more. We didn't even have that much.
Did you mean about modifying the engines?
Yes. No, about the guy who said it could go to space.
Yeah, about the lawyer folk me and Piani met. You remember I was telling you about that? He said it's actually a spaceship.
Yeah. That's what I've been trying to say, is that the engines are astronautic, not post-tech. So with a few modifications, if I had time and tools, it would be reasonably possible to send it into low Aeson orbit. Yes.
It might already be able to do that.
You're speaking so loud.
Oh, Eric.
So, how the fuck are we going to get access
Hold on, Bjorn. I just walk over to Eric and go right next to his ear. Be like, wake up! We got shit to do.
I think probably, like, Eric just, like, accidentally psychic pushes everybody in the room away from him. Just like, bam!
Yeah, right.
Like, oh! Sorry about that. You surprised me.
So,
what? Yes, I can make it go to space.
All right, Eric, just rest for a sec. How are we gonna get in the boat?
Maybe we should fake some sort of emergency that would cause the building to get evacuated. Then we can get in, and I don't know.
Higgs, are we going to have any progress with the chick?
Well, no. I think they brilliantly fucked that up last night. I thought...
She seemed surprisingly uninterested in Brumpotungus.
Well...
It's as if when she saw him, she completely lost interest. It wasn't even when he said something.
It's a fine line sometimes, and it seems like you guys made it pretty fucking broken and bent it a lot and fucked that relationship up. So I don't think that's going to work at all. I think we're just going to have to kidnap her.
But I thought we needed to kidnap the boat.
Yeah, then kidnap the boat with her in tow.
You do realize she goes missing and the whole place just knows about it immediately?
Correct. But I also know of a certain lawyer that seems a little bit prone to taking people and putting them in their cars. So maybe we could blame it on him. Look, I don't know. I'm just spitballing ideas right now. I've been reading the paper all morning. I haven't really put too much thought in this.
It's like six finished Sudoku puzzles in the newspaper. Yeah.
You're like, this seventh one's giving me all the fucking issues. I don't know how to solve it. Don't help, please. I don't want any help. But we got to get something done today. That's for sure.
Fuck. All right, well... I don't know about evacuating the building. It's pretty risky.
Yes. Especially
we don't know what kind of lockdown could happen.
Yes. I mean, there's got to be some... If we evacuate the building and say it's an evacuation for a fire, there's got to be some sort of fire department that maybe we could sneak our way in as. They probably have ways to bypass things. If you're a fire department, you got to get to where the fire's at, so they're going to let you in, obviously.
That's so I can take on our third identity for this mission.
Well,
all right.
Look, when you have as many as I do, what's three more? All right.
All right. Well, how about this? We've already established ourselves as a racing crew with a television, you know, camera, whatever, producer.
Yes.
What if we say we want to document the boat? Maybe we try to get, you know, arrangements to shoot the boat.
Okay.
Yeah. We'd have to get filming credentials. I know that there are some documentaries that get made about racing teams and about hyperboats. We could probably pose as one if we had the right paperwork.
I mean, the thing is you've already all introduced yourself to Mr. Beefsteak as one person or another. So he kind of knows everyone's identity and what your first...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Your first thing is, so that's not going to work.
We just need to get close to the boat.
I think, you know what?
Just need to get Brumbo close.
I think we just walk over there with Brumbo Tungus and demand we see the boat, and we just go from there. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? They say no?
I think we do it. But we have to be ready to steal it.
Is that they try to kill us and succeed.
They're not going to kill Brumbo Tungus on the race of the day of the race, Eric. That's just...
They might if he tries to drive away with the hyperboat.
Well, I mean, if that happens. But if we're already driving in the hyperboat, how are they going to catch us? We're the fastest people on the planet.
That's true.
And we're also in a space boat.
Okay? Yes. I don't think I could make the modifications while the boat's running, though.
Well, according to that lawyer, if he is credible, it already is space ready.
Okay.
And I kind of trust the lawyer more than I do you, Eric, if I'm honest.
That's a big if, though, right?
Okay.
It's heavy.
So, I guess put on your best Sunday.
As you say that, by the way, Alpharius writes down something on his hands.
Okay. It's like, so I guess we put on our best Sunday attire. And we walk over there and say, hey, we want to see this damn spaceboat. And if you don't, we're going to tell the whole world that it's actually a spaceboat. So let us see it.
I honestly have no idea what's going on, but I will do as you say.
Okay. I'll bring my meta tool.
Okay.
Let's go.
Yeah, I guess get dressed up and let's go see if we can have a look-see.
All right, so you're dressing up like a film crew.
No, I think
just
we're
going over as Brumbo Tungus and Party.
Yeah. Tungus Brumpo, and Company.
Yeah. Tungus and Company. Yeah.
Sticking with your. Okay. All right. So, how do you get there? Are you gonna take a cab or, I assume.
No,
there's
we don't.
Not,
we
there's
don't,
not like, there, dude.
You know what, Adam?
There's
we
a
walk.
Huge race.
Okay. We walk.
How far is it?
Hours.
It's like it's walkable. It's not like this the actual city is not huge because the planet's not that big.
But. Yeah.
Dude, we're in a huge it's a big race weekend coming up. The hotel's got shuttles.
Yeah, you're not going to a race site though.
Are we going to a race
like,
site
there?
Near?
Well, no, it's at her like special hangar.
Mm. So it's not hangar at a race site.
No. She's going to have to transport it to the
got it. Oh, you know, she's probably going
to
have to
get it when it transports.
Hang on. So, if I understand correctly, she's going to have to transport it on a vehicle that will carry the hyperboat. If we knew what vehicle they were taking, we could put together a facsimile and arrange some sort of switch out.
Why don't we? Go ahead, Piani.
It's probably a certain categorization of vehicle that actually can do that, right?
Not yeah, just I just, any I actually cars. Pull up like the schematics for it on my pad. I say, oh yes, well, and then I start rattling up, you know, technical specs about the kinds of transport, you know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you could find you find the transport trucks that would be transporting, like the type of truck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we actually have a boat of our own? We never. Okay, so we wouldn't have a truck to transport it.
Yeah.
We'd have to find one.
That'd be easy. You could rent one or hire one. That any trouble?
We probably want to rent one. Yep. It's not like we're going to pay for it anyways.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how are we going to do the trade-off? If they load up the hyperboat into their transport truck and they start driving it, then somehow between the garage and the racetrack, we have to hijack the original truck, replace it with our decoy truck, and then we need GTFO.
Do we really need to replace it, though? Because if we're replacing it with a truck, there's not going to be a thing attached to it. So they're going to know right off the bat.
I'm figuring the truck is actually like a single compartment thing that you would load the entire hyperboat into.
Oh, like you wouldn't see it.
Yeah, yeah, you drive the hyperboat into the back of the, like, it's like a semi or whatever, close it up, drive it to the racetrack, unload it, get it set up, and then rip it out.
Yeah, because the hyperboat goes like 0 miles per hour or 1,000 miles per hour minimum.
You never drive it to the race because it goes way too fast for streets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably all of like its engines would burn way too hot. They'd like just tear up the asphalt and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay, well, I mean, there's got to be a couple of those vehicles here at this place with. Why don't we just go get one of those and just swap them out?
Maybe Piani should go do some reconnaissance, find out what truck they're going to use, send us photographs. Higgs, you and I and Alfarius can go to a rental place and rent a similar-looking truck, and if needed, I suppose make modifications so it looks identical.
Okay. I mean, that works for me. I was just going to go over there and say, hey, let us see this boat. And if that didn't work, well, then I guess we go home without the boat.
We'd still need a way to transport the boat away. If we just get it on the truck itself, all we have to do is deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
This is never going to happen, guys. I just realized it.
What do you mean?
This is one of those missions where for just 3 weeks in a row... we set up a really bad plan. Everyone tells us a really bad plan. It doesn't work because it's a really bad plan. And then we survive.
What do you
survive.
Mean? You honestly think that just trying to steal the truck is a worse plan than trying to steal it right from the track?
I legitimately have plan PTSD in roleplay. Like, no one has ever conceived of a good plan according to viewership. It's like, and it sucks because we work really hard to find one. And then every time it's like, the DM, be it Neil or Adam's like, well, obviously you didn't do this one thing, so the fucking guy fucking killed you. We're like, oh, yeah, we should have thought of that.
I mean, I've seen plans go well. I've seen these things work.
Name one.
Don't someone once jumped into a ship.
Name a plan that went well.
Fine. Pirates.
It's totally fine.
Nobody can name a plan that went well.
I can name a plan that went well. On Mere Shades, when we attacked that concert, and we took over the screens, and then we locked the people out of the doors, and then Dodger fucked them up, and they all started throwing up like crazy.
that was pretty good. That worked out right.
That worked out pretty good.
Yeah, that worked out right. But isn't that show famous for all of your plans sucking ass?
Yes, yes. Yes. We were bound to get one right eventually.
We had to get one right eventually.
Then that's fine. I stand corrected. There is one that exists. But these 4 years we've been doing this or whatever, but...
Well, okay. I mean, you know what, Jeff?
It's not money. Just saying, I have PTSD when it comes to plans.
Maybe the bad plan was to try to steal it from the track. And now, in finally figuring out where it is, what is going on, that our better course of action is to just straight up try to steal the truck that they're going to be transporting that shit in.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, Beefcake is the security op. Beefcake.
Beefsteak is the security
officer for
Mr. Beefsteak is the team lead. He's the officer that leads a team of five other Fotenhauer mercenaries to basically like keep track of Kira and Ganzai.
All right, I've got an idea. I think that we sweet talk meat steak to tell us what sort of security, if any, they travel with the truck, making it sound like I want to make sure that we show up with our, you know, our best colors and
we can present it as though we are worried about our security. So how do they do it? So
right.
Well, yeah, then you make that call.
I will make that call.
Okay, you're gonna call Mr. Beefsteak.
I get out the the little flexi card.
Yeah.
Bam.
If you're calling to find out their security, should Alpharius and I go over there to look at their transport vehicle?
Sure.
Yeah. Alpharius?
Yeah.
All right.
Do it.
Brumpo, Tungus, and I are heading off to go gloat in front of Kira and Gaza and,
okay. And then reconnoiter. Higgs, what are you going to do while this is happening?
I just sit back with the newspaper and the scar and open it back up and continue on the seventh Sudoku puzzle.
Yeah, finish that fucking puzzle. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for something to happen in terms of bad.
So I go, Mr. Higgs, it is a good idea to perhaps pursue the appointment with the front desk lady. She did seem to have... I'm not entirely sure, actually, why she wanted a meeting.
Oh, yeah. I'll make sure that she's in the room for you tonight.
Okay.
He, like, squints right. A little bit and, like, thank you, I think.
Yes.
No so problem. Let's start with the phone call. We snap cut to Piani on her comms. Phone's ringing. Picks up. We get the diagonal cut. We see Mr. Beefsteak. He's got, like, a muscle shirt on, and he's, like, lifting some really heavy-looking, like, sci-fi weights. You know, because they got like neon on them or some shit. So he's lifting them, he's wearing his sunglasses, and he's like, picks up the phone, he's like, Beefsteak,
Piani.
Miss Pick, it's good to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, but I'm telling you, I'm losing sleep. I'm a bit troubled, and I feel like maybe a security expert like yourself might be able to give me some good advice.
So he pauses, he's like, I am an expert. Hang on, I gotta do some push-ups. And there's a beep, and he like puts you on speakerphone. And you can hear him like doing push-ups while he talks to you. Yeah.
So, you know, the race is right around the corner, and I am almost embarrassed to admit, but I'm starting to worry a bit about the transportation of our boat. And I know that, you know, there's several other big racing teams that. Make a big show and spectacle of it. What's the name of the thing again?
Which thing? The hyperboat.
What's their team name? Do we know?
Penis. Oh, you don't know. Yeah. It's just her. She's not a
penis
team.
Envy.
It's just Ngazi or?
Yeah. Yeah. Team Ngazi.
So, you know, there's a rivalry between ourselves and Team Ngazi. And, you know, I just don't want them to show us up on security the day of the race. And I feel like, you know, a few mounted machine guns and maybe a few extra cars, or I don't know. But I feel like without knowing what they use, I can't really make the best decision now, can I?
He's like, well, I can't give you the details of what team we use. It's important security secrets. You got to understand that. But if you're looking
to
try
and... could just give me the most basic outfit that someone would at least want to be equipped with if they... wanted to share transport from point A to point B.
Make a persuade roll. Make a charisma persuade roll.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Charisma persuade roll. Where is persuade? Okay.
Just don't do what I did.
Yeah, roll a 4.
I don't know what I rolled.
Oh, no!
You got a 5. That is a roll. That's a number that you could roll.
I roll a 5.
Yeah. So he says, look, I respect you as a professional and as a cute lady, but I can't help you with this one. I can give you the number of a couple of truck companies, but they're going to be all packed up by now.
What do you mean packed up?
Well, it's a busy business. No more busy than right before a race. You're cutting it real short.
I don't need the truck. I just need to know if there's anything I need with the truck. You know, for example, maybe a trail car behind. Are people concerned about this sort of thing here?
So he's like flipped over and is doing sit-ups now. He's doing crunches. And he's like, look, there's about a million things that can go wrong. You just got to have faith in yourself. Your decisions are the right ones. That's how I always feel. Look, whatever the first thing that comes to mind, I do it. And it always works.
Adam is trying to very subtly give us hints.
No, I'm just saying that's the Beefsteak method. What he does.
Great. All right, Mr. Beefsteak. I appreciate it. I'll just do what you told me. Just outfit this thing with so many fucking guns that anyone comes near me, I'll protect the boat, because I'm sure that's what everyone does.
So he's like, yeah, this planet likes guns. Like, a lot. It's a little weird. Hey, you got plans for lunch? You like burgers?
I do.
You want to get a burger with me, Piani?
Well, that sounds just fantastic. Let's do it.
All right, I'll see you. And you hear him, like, stand up. And we see him, like, look at his, like, big clunky military watch. He's like, I'll see you in exactly 3.5 hours. I'll send you the address.
I've been waiting a long time for this.
Dude, I'm just trying to get information, Jeff. Come on, hey, man.
If James Bond can do it, what's wrong with a woman doing it?
I guess there's nothing.
What's wrong with a man playing a woman doing a man playing a man doing it?
Nothing. All right. 3.5 hours.
Oh, yeah. So that's the plan. So you finish your phone call, and we cut over to Alpharius and Eric getting out of a cab. You're in a much quieter part of Alamo City. Maybe you're on the corner of two intersecting streets. There's not a lot of traffic out here, and maybe even the cab driver mentioned, like, oh, that's weird. There's nothing out there. There's a big neon sign over top of the street that's kind of casting this weird light down, blocking the actual light of the sun.
Adam,
yes,
I have my nav computer with me.
Okay.
And I'm using it to chart my route through the city from the hotel we're staying at to the place. And then, like, I'm also using it to try and, like, map out efficient routes exiting the city. That's what I'm doing right now.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
While he's mapping that out, I close the taxi door, and we're only getting the tail end of the conversation. But I say, I would just as soon as pay a man to punch me in the face repeatedly than pay for a taxi ride that is most likely going to give me hemorrhoids for the rest of my life. Good day, sir. I close the door.
Nice. All right. So there's this big sign blocking out kind of a lot of the light. It's like a little shadowy. There's a warehouse. Just looks like a big kind of unsigned. Maybe it's got a faded old spray paint on one side that used to be a sign, but this is definitely the address.
Cool. Are there any windows?
Yep. They're up above. They're a little dusty.
Are there ledges, like, that you could grab onto? Just
you,
like,
wanted to, like, climb to the window?
Not climbing up to the window, but just on the window itself. Could someone hang from it?
It's got a windowsill, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Eric looks up. He turns to Alpharius. He says, I'll be right back. And then...
Okay.
I'm teleporting up there
Night in, like,
the clinging
there.
On to the ledge sort of way. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So you're, like, hanging on. Okay. The windows are everything in this part of town, because it's like not maintained as well, has like salt kind of, like, crusted on a lot of it. So the windows have, like, a fine layer of salt that started to crust in the corners. It's a little hard to see through. You can see inside it's just, like, one big room. There's a lot of machinery. It just looks like a machine shop. On the inside, and there's an object in the center covered by a big cloth, which you assume is the vehicle itself.
Do I see anybody in there?
You see, yeah, I think so. There's some lights on. You see some people moving around.
Do I see their transport vehicle?
No.
Yeah. Are there any overhangs inside, like scaffolds or catwalks or something that I could maybe teleport up onto?
Make a, I don't know, a perception roll, because it's not about seeing it, it's whether you can see it clearly enough to teleport to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go ahead and...
Wisdom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, please. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you can spot a catwalk up above that you could teleport to.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so you teleport again.
Yeah.
Alpharius, what are you doing outside?
Standing there, I guess.
Do you want to, like, check the area out? You want to knock on the door? You want to...
What were we sent here to do?
You're going to go scope the joint out.
Yeah, we wanted especially to make sure that we understood exactly what vehicle they were going to be using to transport the hyperboat.
Yeah, I'm casing it, basically, the outside.
Okay. Make a perception roll yourself, please. Same thing with wisdom.
Oh, I have a plus nothing and everything except for dexterity, but
it's a good one. I have
in
a plus
persuasion, one. Or excuse me, perception.
Yeah,
I have a zero, which is awesome.
Do it.
I got a four.
Okay. All right. I think that we see Alpharius kind of walking around the place looking for signs, and we pan up. It's obviously like you're not finding anything. We pan up, and on the roof of a nearby building, there's that woman with the orange hair and the sunglasses. She's not wearing her like fringe jacket anymore. She's wearing a like a black like fatigue suit. She just says something into her headphones and like is watching Alpharius move around. So inside, Eric, you see, it's mostly dark. There's some lights hanging over a few areas. There's a big big plastic tarp over the vehicle. And there are a couple of mechanics like just around. They seem to be packing up. So they're putting together like toolboxes and loading up a skiff with equipment, some extra like nitro canisters, that kind of thing. And you see Kira, and she's talking to what at this distance looks like a it looks like a like a 3 or 4 meter long furry caterpillar.
Good. Normal.
Yeah, it's like a normal. big like, you know, like I don't know, basically like two human size, like big caterpillar covered in thin gray fur. It's got on the front of it, it doesn't have eyes that you can see. It has a series of sort of like prongs up at the front that are vibrating slightly. And it's moving its little arms. And she seems to be like having a lighthearted argument with it.
But I can't hear what they're saying.
No, you can't pick out what they're saying from this distance. But she basically, like, she's saying something to it, and it's, like, making a weird vibrating sound. What? And then she, like, laughs and walks away. She's wearing her training, her driver suit, but it's like, stripped down to the waist, and she's just got her T-shirt on underneath. She's doing some, like, stretches and talking to him while that's happening.
Yeah. Okay. Still can't see where the truck is.
No, there doesn't appear to be any truck here. Okay. Are there you can see there's an office, one of those little suspended offices above that you could like walk along this catwalk and get to.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna head in that direction.
Okay,
trying to be as stealthy.
Can you make a stealth roll, please?
If I teleport, do I get to avoid the stealth roll?
Your teleportation is not silent. Teleportation is actually pretty loud because the air pops into where you were.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's my stealth roll. It's complete bullshit. That's okay. Let's find out what happens.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Nice. Okay. So there is a second where you like creep along the catwalk, and maybe you make a bit of a noise, and the caterpillar creature like kind of turns its sensory prongs up at you, and they twitch a little bit, and Kira looks up and squints and then shakes her head, and they continue the conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, you make it over and you can hop off and get it. There's this little office. The cool. Door's open.
Yeah, head in there. Is there any like computers around? Are there any schematics around? Is there
any? It looks like it was hastily assembled. There's like 3 or 4 computers that are all rigged together. There's a bank of screens. Nice. Most of the screens are still running like data, like race data. Mm-hmm. And then there's a one of the screens. Actually, it's not a screen. It's a holo display of the ship, and it's like rotating and showing off like some last minute schematic data.
Yeah, so I go over to that one and I thumbs on my comms, and I whisper into it, Piani, I'm in the office of Kieran Gaza's team, and I have what look like relevant schematics for the hyperboat. If I need you, can I patch you through my compad into the computer to have you hack into it?
Sure.
excellent. So I go over to it, and like I'm just like giving it a visual, you know, ocular pat down, right? Like looking if there are any sort of like biometric devices that I would need to like activate in order to gain access to it, or if there's just like a straight, you know, keyboard mouse setup or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, so the first computer bank does have like keyboards and a standard like holo display. You can like move stuff around and whatever. Yeah. But the computer that's displaying the schematics just appears to have like a large like microphone in front of it and no other way to interface with it.
Got it. Okay. Are there any like USB ports or whatever?
Yeah, sure.
Yep. All right, so I pull out the USB dongle from my compad and I plug it into the computer and I say, all right, Piani, you're connected. The only way to interface with this computer is through some kind of microphone. I think there's some creature downstairs that seems to make sound. Sorry, I'll explain more later, but we need to get into this computer and get those plans.
I'm not sure I'm totally familiar with this interface. You said there's a creature?
Yeah, it's some sort of very long caterpillar covered in fur.
I'm literally... Did you guys find a shipment of blue fever over there? What the fuck is going on?
Shh. Please, Piani, I'm in the office above the...
It's a very long caterpillar.
Yes, above the caterpillar. Please, just do what you can to get into this computer and get those files.
Okay. But I have to control it with my voice?
So there's...
No, I plugged the compad into the computer.
There's a prompt on your piano. There's a prompt on your compad that is currently... It's asking you if you'd like to interface. Like, would you like to access this device?
Yes.
The name of the device? The name of the device is obviously your computer trying to parse... symbols that it doesn't have the keyboard for. And then there's just the yes or no. And so you connect to it. So the compad processes the connection and then brings up a prompt that says, would you like to download the appropriate interface files for this machine? You currently don't have the appropriate firmware.
Yeah.
Okay. So it just takes a second, downloads, and then... an interface appears, like a UI appears, that's mostly like triangles pointing in various directions. And your computer or your compad starts to give off a low frequency buzzing sound. And occasionally it sounds like the speaker is like,
this is a witness puzzle. I've been training for this exact moment.
So it just goes like really low and occasionally vibrates faster or slower. And you can hear the speakers in your compad bottoming out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like turn it. So I do that strat where like sometimes mobile games will have these super bassy noises, so you have to turn it down to volume 1. So that's what okay. I do on a
So contact. you turn it down, and if you hold it by your ear, you can hear a little bit of difference between the thing and then it stops and then it repeats the pattern. It's kind of like low like noise. It sounds a bit like a didgeridoo, like an electronic didgeridoo.
And I guess like I have a mic on my compad, right?
Yeah.
I guess I like look around because I'm like, I can't believe I'm about to fucking do this, but I like try to repeat the noise back as best as I can just to see if anything changes.
Okay. you seem to trigger some kind of like error message, like a little red like thing lights up on the screen. It makes a different like buzzing sound.
Okay. But it didn't necessarily do any, it gave me like an error.
Yeah. It's like you're trying to operate a piece of software in a language you don't understand. And you're also like, communicating primarily through sound.
Piani, maybe there's a way you could hack past the interface that's audio based.
I mean, you kind of need a non-audio interface in order to do that. It's not like that it's just a back door that's like, oh, here's the way how you get through if you don't know how to fucking... Yeah, yeah. This isn't Star Trek 4, you fucking Damn.
I thought you could just code a virus out of GUI Basic.
Maybe etch it. Typical fucking hardware engineer.
Etch it into something? Etch it into some bones that I can take a picture of in order to inject into the computer.
Look, it is possible. You're all right. It works off of some sort of sound wave login. It's possible if you can get past this, I might be able to do more. So maybe your little fucking creature or whatever it is might be what could open the compad.
That's probable, but I don't even know if I can understand it.
You don't need... If you hold the fucking worm up to the compad, maybe it makes the noises to unlock it like it's a key.
Well, the worm is about 12 feet long, so I can't actually... Well, I could actually hold it, but I don't think it would like that very much.
Tell me it was 12 foot long. You just said it was a fucking caterpillar. It's like this long.
Wait. If I leave a wireless hookup attached to the computer, then maybe it's possible the creature will come back up here to unlock it, and at that point, the computer will be vulnerable to your hacking.
Can you just record it with your compad? Just, you know, go down and record it.
Let me download a directional sound recorder app.
It's built into the fucking hardware.
I punch a couple buttons to download.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a sound recorder on there, sure.
Yeah, sure. And then I unplug, doo-doo, and I walk out along the catwalk as stealthily as possible until I'm like right over the creature, and then I just hit the record button. First, I turn button.
Remember, you were too far away to hear what they were saying from above.
Yeah.
If the thing was closer, maybe, but
yeah.
Not from all the way up here.
Hmm. Teleporting makes sound. Hmm. Yeah, I go back into the office and I thumbs on to Peony. I say, I think our best chance for unlocking this machine is to hope that the is to hope if we can get the creature to unlock the computer itself while I have a wireless input connected to it, then you can use that vulnerability to get in and get the files, right?
Well, I don't know what's beyond the front door. You have to knock that one down first. I can't promise you anything.
Yes, but the front door
But hypothetically, yes.
Okay. If we can somehow cause Alpharius to make enough of a distraction that they're concerned about the integrity of their position, then perhaps it will cause the creature to come check on its computer files.
Sure.
Oh, okay. I'm going to leave this connected, and I just like take out like a USB stick or whatever, and I plug it into the computer. Ding. And then I comms to Alpharius. I say, and this is like open comms to Alpharius and to Peony, and I say, Alpharius, we need you to make enough of a distraction outside that Kira and Gaza's team worries about the integrity of their security. Can you do that?
Yes.
Excellent. I should find somewhere to hide. Okay. Good luck, Alpharius. And I head off along the catwalks trying to find like the darkest, you know, most remotest corner.
Sure. Okay, yeah, I mean, as long as you don't leave the area, you still, your hide roll applies.
Okay.
Alpharius, what do you want to do?
He really doesn't know. He's told to make a distraction, so he just kind of walks over the door and knocks on it.
Okay, so instead of a voice from inside, like you'd expect, you hear someone behind you. You hear a woman's voice say, can I help you?
I turn and look at her and...
Yeah. So the woman with the orange hair, she's got pulled back in a ponytail, got her sunglasses on. She looks like more like a Secret Service type person than like an armored guard. But she does have a little earpiece in.
Did I interact with her before?
No. No, Higgs. So
I don't know this woman, right?
No.
I say, I kind of turn and look at her, and I look back at the building, and I'm like, Yeah, I certainly hope so. You look like you could probably help out a child at a pizza party for his birthday, but for right now, we'll have to make do. I have a race to do in less than 24 hours, and I was supposed to go here to meet with Miss Ermagati, or whatever her name is, to perhaps apologize for my bluntness.
Okay, so she's just like, I'm sorry. Miss Ngazai's real busy right now. Does she know you're coming?
I most certainly do not believe so, unless she...
So she's walking towards you, and you can hear her boots clicking on the pavement. And she walks up, she puts her hand out, she's like, can I see some ID, sir?
We had papers made up.
Did we?
Yeah, totally. For Brumpotungus and his crew, yeah.
I look at her hand, and I go, I will most certainly show you some ID if you can prove your cleanliness. I have a race tomorrow with millions of dollars hanging in the balance. And if I wanted some mascot from a former food chain like McDonald's to ask me for my identification, only to give me the plague from which he brings forth, I don't think that would be very sensible now, would it?
Listen, sir, we don't have to blaspheme the name of St. McDonald. This is not serious yet. Please, can I? And she gestures, I just need to scan your ID real quick, confirm who you are.
I hold it up.
Okay. All right. So she like swipes it with her compad. Did we make a roll for that? Because I definitely don't have a note for like a computer roll for how difficult that shit is.
I'm pretty sure Piani made a...
I have Piani's computer roll for hiding pie. But I don't have one for the actual fake IDs.
Yeah,
didn't he roll a 9 on that?
I totally killed the fake IDs.
Didn't he roll a 9 on it?
I thought you got a 10 on the hide pie, but I didn't note any like roll for fake. Well, you can just make a computer roll now.
I know that we got we got fake IDs for us as like a mechanics crew.
It was
but a I don't know
crew.
If,
yeah,
you didn't. Like, I don't know if we made a Brumpotungus ID.
Well, I just kind of assumed that would
that was a be part, part of it. Right?
But if I need to make a separate roll, I will.
Yeah. Let's do.
Oh,
that.
Oh, what about Rajani provided them?
Well, the ones Rajani gave you were the pit crew ones. The plan was that you use those, but then you were all like, "No, we got to be a different thing." So,
well, please do make a roll because that'll make this a lot more fun.
Okay,
all right. Eight's so not too bad.
Eight. Aww.
Okay, so
it's here. Acceptable. I was hoping it was like a crayon drawing of myself, and it says like my name.
Just says Grumpo. Tungus in huge letters.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh shit.
Okay, so she scans them. Look at her compad. Looks at you. It's the compad again, and she's like, "Sir, I'm gonna have to ask you to come on over here with me," and. She gestures to a building across the street. You can see now when she gestures, there's another guy. This guy's wearing like body armor, not power armor, but like body armor, and has a laser rifle held up. And he's standing outside the door.
Held up, like pointed at me?
No, just like holding it at the ready.
All right. She says that, and Alpharius does like the most exasperated like head back. And he says, "Ma'am, I'm gonna be blunt. I understand your job is security, but if you could, for a minute, try to wrap your head around the concept that my job is to provide entertainment for more people than your name is ever gonna reach or ever gonna touch in 10 lifetimes, and that entertainment drags them away from a reality, and that reality is that they don't amount to anything, they don't matter." They don't have anything, and all they have is a bleak existence. Imagine, if you will, a person whose job is to harass people on the street side and ask them for their identification. Once upon getting that identification, they ask them to come to another building, one where they have no purpose to go except for to be asked more mundane questions by even worse and stupider people. Imagine for a moment that that is your existence, that that's what you do. And then ask yourself, if you were to ask an entertainer, a god, if they would follow them to another building, I would just assume eat the nether regions of a veteran prostitute than do that myself. I find that to be just as detestable.
Oh my god.
So she coughs slightly when you're done. It's like, sir, if you could just step this way, please. It'll only be just a moment. You can always leave. I'm not arresting you.
I will give you this moment because I'm a kind man.
She just doesn't respond. So she leads you over to the building. The guy opens the door. And inside there's like a little like kind of comm center. They've got there's a couple more mercs in here. They seem to be watching surveillance equipment both inside and outside the building. And yes, the guy opens up and she kind of takes you inside. And she says, just this way, please. And walks you into another room. So in the other room, there's just a table. It's like a plain room. There's a table in the middle of the room.
Maybe a water cooler. By the way, do I get a sense that these are like Fotenhauer mercenaries, like pretty high level, or what are we talking about?
They're definitely mercs and they seem to be all business. So yeah.
What kind of equipment are we seeing? You said one guy had a laser rifle.
Yeah, it's all TL4 stuff. There's nothing TL5.
There's no thunder gun.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they take you in. They tell you. She tells you, like, please have a seat. I'll be with you in just a minute.
Do you see he takes a seat, sure.
Okay. Yeah. So she walks out and closes the door. You can hear a muted conversation between her and a man in the other room. They seem, like, pretty chill. Like, she says something. He laughs. Not like really loud, he chuckles. And it sounds like a person talking to somebody whose attention is elsewhere. Like she's just talking to him about something. So meanwhile, I think this is when Piani, you are, cause it took them a while to get out there. Maybe this is when you're meeting with your new friend.
Oh God. Beefsteak. Oh Jesus. Yeah. Fuck.
So your car pulls up. And we see Piani get out of this cab, and there's this huge like three story like fast food place basically. It's got
Saint McDonald's.
Yeah, it's got that's serious. That's church. You only go there on Sundays. Yeah, it's a combination hamburger and flapjack place. And it's mascot. Wait,
does that mean hamburgers made with like pancakes?
Yeah,
as the
definitely.
Bun?
Yeah, pancake burgers.
Fuck yeah. I'm like yeah. Super excited.
Yeah, it's a classic of casual dining. It's got a big open area out front with all these tables, and there's a big hollow projection of the pre-race just floating above the above the place, giving it this kind of like light blue glow. And standing there outside on the sidewalk is an obviously off duty Mr. Beefsteak. He's wearing tennis shoes and socks that are like up to his knees, and then little like denim shorts and a muscle shirt. He's got a gold chain on. He's got his big sunglasses. And when he sees you, he kind of like half salutes and half waves, and starts walking over to you.
Mr. Beefsteak.
He laughs. He's like, no, I'm off duty. It's just Beefsteak.
Well, just Beefsteak. Love pancake burgers, by the way. I don't know if you knew this, but I'm
to clarify, really we did say beef stick, just so we all heard that. Getting a little ahead of ourselves,
I've
I think.
Gotten his name wrong 20 times, so there you go.
Yes, but that's like on a date.
I called him meat steak.
I'm sorry,
earlier.
Mr. Penis. Oh, I get names wrong all the time.
I love pancake burgers.
Mr. Beef Guy. So he says, I don't think I've ever met anyone who doesn't like a good pancake burger. I'm partial to the waffles myself. Any like gestures? Shall we?
Let's.
Okay. Right. So he opens the door for you and like takes you inside, and so now you're standing in front of this huge like jumbotron menu of that's just like flashing images of delicious looking batter burgers, and he looks over at you and he's like, so Have you been in security very long?
Well, you know, I've not specifically, like, you know, around the races, but I've dabbled a bit for quite a long time.
He nods. He says, it's pretty common. It's hard to find your passion out here in this big old world. It took me a while to figure out what I really wanted to do with my life.
And is that to be a security officer?
He looks at you and kind of like looks over his sunglasses and he says, I really like keeping people safe.
I can respect that. That's why I'm in the business myself. Haven't always been with people, mind you. Sometimes even computers, but still important just the same.
He says, I never understood that stuff. Too complicated for me.
Well, you know, we need two types of protection in this world. You need physical protection, and you also need, well, electronic protection, I guess you could say.
He nods. It's like, you're a smart chick. I like that. And so as you're talking, you're like moving up the line. He orders, I don't know, like a deep fried waffle burger, chicken waffle burger, the side of macaroni and cheese, and like six beers. And he lets you order. And then the two of you are like at your table. And he's just like making small talk, just asking you like, oh, you know, where are you from? What are you doing here?
So I try to, you know, pepper the conversation with truths and not just like straight up, no, that's not the case, you know, at least to keep it genuine and whatnot. But I think I play along with all the conversation.
Okay. All right. So what's your intent in the conversation? Do you want to get him to like leak something, or are you just trying to earn his trust?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of both, right? Like I feel like regardless of what our plan might be, that this person might play a role, and I know that he has the information we want. So more than anything, that's really why I'm here.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
Don't take no for an answer. So maybe Adam, I every once in a while, like actually maybe about halfway through, I start, and anyone has ever had a wife or girlfriend, like I start sort of like brooding a little bit, you know, like there's obviously something else occupying my mind.
Oh, damn.
Sure. So he's in the middle of telling
exactly what you're saying.
He's in the middle of telling this story that he thinks you're interested in. We see his face in the camera, but we see Piani kind of like getting a little like, you know, introvert in his sunglasses. So he finishes the story and he's like, so that's when my sister fell in the river, right? Funny story. She didn't drown though. That'd be awful. Are you okay? You don't like your bucket of coleslaw?
I'm sorry. I mean, the pancake burgers are fucking amazing, and the bucket of coleslaw, I mean, I've never had a...
It's an entire bucket.
Coleslaw
it's
before.
Magnificent.
It really is an amazing feat for this galaxy. I'm sorry. I shouldn't bring my baggage to a meetup like this, but I'm really...
Yeah.
I'm almost positive... What?
When you say that, he takes his sunglasses off and he like leans on the table, like both elbows, and like puts his hands up. He's like, "No, I want to know more. It's okay."
I told you I've only been in the boat security game for a little while now, and I'm really fearful I'm going to lose my job. I'm just, you know, I asked you about the security earlier, and I didn't really let on to just how little I actually know. I tried to play it off. I apologize to you, especially, you know, I have respect for your craft, but I didn't want to look bad in front of the team, and I feel like they know, and I'm just worried. I'm worried I'm going to lose my job. I'm good at security. I just, you know, I haven't figured out all the nuances of boots yet.
Make a persuade roll. Charisma persuade.
All right.
Take a plus one for your preparations.
Okay.
Don't fuck this up.
I know. I'm going to try not to. Okay, I clicked on it, and...
You can do it, Piani. That's not quite...
Fucking crap. What did I actually roll?
You rolled a four.
You rolled a four. You rolled very poorly.
Wait, I thought I had plus two to... Oh, no.
So, basically...
Oh,
just
wait, I do have... Hold on. Hold the
Unless
phone.
You have a plus four.
Can I
fucked.
Double... No. I'm actually serious here. I swear to God, I raised my perception to two. Is this not the case? I did.
Never mind.
I'm fucking smoking
Just
crap.
So everyone gets Blue it, fever. During this conversation, Piani was farting and burping the entire time.
So, hold on. Do you have... You've got plus one for your persuade, right?
Yeah.
And plus one for your charisma? Is that how that goes?
Yeah. No. So no, and then you gave me a plus one.
Yeah, that's the other one. Yeah, plus one for the skill, plus one. Okay. All right. So he I think that instead of, because you were aiming for his advice and stuff, right?
Right.
But I think instead he takes it away from the work thing and gets kind of personal. And he's like, look, I know it's hard sometimes trying to be something you're not. looks wistfully up at the sky. He's like, for the longest time, I thought I was going to be stuck on that planet, farming dirt the rest of my life. But
Tatooine.
Listen. Yeah, he used to be a tattoo artist there. Listen. It's not about who you think you are. It's not about who the world thinks you are. It's who you want to be. You got to grab life by everything. Grab it by the throat. Squeeze life out of it. That doesn't... Mixed metaphor. Listen, I'm not good at metaphors. I'm not a poet. I like to lift things and punch stuff, but I do know this. And he like puts his hand over your hand, but his hands are so big that it just like covers your arm up to the elbow. Like, look, Piani, you can be whoever you want to be. You can be whatever you want to be. They said I'd never make it in Fotenhauer, but here I am. I'm Mr. Beefsteak. And that's something I'm proud of. And I want you to be proud too of, like, gestures at you. Whatever you are. It doesn't matter to me that you're not good at security. I'm secure enough for both of us. He smiles at you.
It's only going to make saying goodbye harder because I don't think I'll be seeing you at the next race, but I do appreciate your words of wisdom.
He nods. He's like, no one's ever said that to me before. That I'm wise, I mean. And he kind of like, you see him? Like his eye trembles a little bit and he just puts his sunglasses back on.
Like, well, I mean, certainly you're wise. Obviously, you know.
So he's
and
like,
you're strong.
He looks at you. He's like, look, I'm gonna go get some soft serve. You want an ice cream?
I'll take an ice cream sandwich.
Okay, so he gets up and he walks away. And, and so you're just, like, sitting here in this sort of food court. maybe some kids run by. And let's cut over to Alfarious and Eric. So, Eric, there's been no confusion. There's no, like, sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I just
passive
very
time's
quietly.
Important, though, because Alfarious is aware of the fact that he's failed so far. So let me know when you come to me.
Yeah, I just thumbs on the comm and very quietly say, waiting on that disaster, Nefarious.
Do I get that message?
Yeah. There's no, like, jamming or anything.
Oh, okay. I go, yep. Okay. And then we can kind of... What kind of room is it?
Like, it's like a little plain room. There's a light fixture up directly above you. Maybe occasionally you hear the, like... clugging sound of a water cooler sitting in the corner.
There's people outside the door, you said?
Yeah, you can still hear their conversation outside.
Okay. I am going to get up and knock on the door.
Okay. You knock on the door. The conversation stops. So footsteps. Door opens. The woman's there. She says, we're still processing your paperwork, sir. If you'd please have a seat.
I have to confess, when I heard moment, I figured it to be an actual moment. I forgot that your pace of life moves at quite a bit of a different clip. I suffer from a bit of a grumpiness if I don't have some cantaloupe, so I would like to have a cantaloupe now, or I'm afraid I could get rather uncomfortable.
She looks over her shoulder, and one of the mercs kind of snickers. She looks at you, and she's like, no, let's just get this over with. And she walks in and closes the door, and she puts her pad down on the table, and she says, have a seat, please.
He kind of, like, sees her walk past him.
Yeah.
Sees that she... He's like, I don't understand. Do you have a cantaloupe under the table or something? Or
sir,
someone
sir, there's no cantaloupe, sir.
Well, here's where I'd do it again. He says, he's facing the door, and he pops open his chest and reaches in and pulls out one of the grenades from the armory that he had in there. As well as his pistol.
I think your chest compartment opens, she probably like...
He's facing away from her.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, so she'd hear it, so she probably says, like, sir, when she hears the noise.
Okay, that's fine. He kind of, like, it clicks back closed, and then his hands come to his side, and she can see he has his mag pistol, and he has a grenade.
Okay, so you hear the click of a gun. She's obviously pulled the gun and is pointing at you, and she's like, sir, put the weapons down, sir.
He's like...
And she's saying it at just a high enough level that the guys in the other room can hear her voice in, like, a bit of, like, action mode.
He's like, I try to be as blunt as possible. In fact, my mother raised me in such a way that I was probably too blunt. But when I said I have a bit of an anger issue when I don't have a cantaloupe and you just ignored me, well, that's when problems happen. And he pulls the pin, opens the door, and throws it outside.
Okay, so do we want to take one more break and then clean up this mess after?
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we can take a break here.
I said I wanted a cantaloupe.
Maybe the grenade goes off, he says that, and then it cuts back to Higgs. He's on, like, page 8 now, the paper, and just hears the grenade. He goes... Yep, and he folds the paper up nicely and starts getting dressed.
Nice.
He has to go to work, so we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll have all of the hijinks continue as we head into hour 4 of Roleplay Swan Song. We'll see you in just a sec.